your airline that has just cancelled your ticket would say that that was its top priority. Safety. It's one of those words that covers an enormous amount of factors that goes into the decision for airlines to cancel a flight. It's vague. It's opaque. They don't ever really give you that much explanation as to why your flight has been cancelled. The reason I bring this up is because the Australian Lawyers Association has asked the Albanese government to create a new aviation-specific consumer protection laws in the form of a passenger bill of rights. So enshrined rights that, wait a minute, what, that lawyers would be paid to enact. Or you would go to a lawyer and then the lawyer would then go to the airline on your behalf. Anyway, cynicism aside, Australian Airlines, under the terms of this Bill of Rights, would have to provide delays or cancellations, would have to prove that delays or cancellations were beyond their control, or compensate passengers under sweeping changes proposed by senior lawyers. Things such as accommodation, free Wi-Fi, water, that sort of thing. Taking a nod from the EU, compensation if your flight is more than 3 hours late. I want to know what you would like to see from airlines when they cancel your flight. It's happened to everybody who flies. 133693. What would you like the airline to do for you when it cancels your flight? Also, do you support a Bill of Rights for passengers? There will be an inevitable cost that will be passed on to airlines, and then, of course, as we know, will be passed on to you and me, members of the travelling public. To give us some expert input into what causes a plane to just not be flyable, and therefore for a flight to be cancelled, is James Nixon, author, speaker, and retired A380 captain. He joins me now. Good afternoon, James.
G'day, Tony. You know, I gave a speech to aviation lawyers about how the hell we get lawyers out of the flight deck, because there's too many of them in there now. They discovered this about 20 years ago and realised this is a great way to make money. So they make pilots' life hell. But it does come down to the point that eventually someone could look after the passengers. And I can understand what they're getting at in this situation, where passengers buy a ticket to Sydney and the airline says, oh, well, you're not on that flight. We're just offering you a range of flights to get you to Sydney.
Exactly. Well, that's the airline's argument. So we don't promise to get you there on time. We just promise to get you from A to B because we're an airline. And you would know as well as anybody, James, that aircraft are complex pieces of machinery and things can go wrong, and they do go wrong. So give us some reason why an airplane might break down leading to the cancellation of your flight, and how much of it is within the airline's control?
Well, the cynical person in me would say that when you've only got half the number of passengers on this flight, then it's a breakdown. And so then what you do is combine it on the flight that goes an hour later.
Exactly.
And so that's the cynic in me. Look, planes do break down, but they don't break down that often. We have you probably know, there's a thing called the MEL, the minimum equipment list. So there's a lot of reasons why planes can have an imperfection and still go flying. So you don't need all the brakes. For example, one brake can be disabled or one reverse could be disabled and the plane can still go off on time. So it really comes down to, it's fairly rare that a fleet of new airliners breaks down to the point where the flight is actually cancelled. More often than not, it's where the crew don't turn up on time. Mm-hmm. Maybe after a Taylor Swift concert, you've got a problem getting people to go to work on a Sunday morning.
Or a Christmas party. Yep.
Christmas parties. Or you know, COVID. And this is the problem with COVID, because the people who are being tested for COVID that we read about are the people who actually, for their jobs, have to report having COVID. So, you know, if someone's got COVID, they're not allowed to go to work, and that's how it is. So that is still affecting airlines, and it's affecting them a lot at the moment. But we've got to make sure we don't go too far and go overboard. Because the American model, many pilots would contend, has gone right over the top. They can carry in America, or flights arriving to America can carry animals in the cabin.
Yeah, comfort animals. We don't want that to catch on in Australia. Thanks very much.
Did you see the comfort horse?
Yeah, I have. And it's ludicrous, and it's being abused, and it's people are having a lend. But just in terms of this, do you think, from a moral standpoint, James, that an airline owes you free Wi-Fi, accommodation, water, all those sorts of things, if it has cancelled your flight?
I think they're going to look after you, Tony. Yeah. And the problem is with IATA, the rules for IATA say that if you...
James, tell us what IATA is.
That's the club of airlines, yep. The international, it's the Association of Air Travel Association. And, yeah. And there's two people. There's the ICAO, which is the regulator, the United Nations arm, which is the policeman,
yep.
And IATA is the club of airlines, and there's about 130 in there. And they're the ones who make up all the rules about flying within each other and transferring bags over and things like that. And what they do say is if the plane goes back to the to the departure point, you may just tell the passengers to go home and they don't have to look after them. But if the passenger's flight has already started, so, for example, if you go from Tasmania to Melbourne to go on to Los Angeles and the plane breaks down and they fly back to Melbourne again, they have to look after you because your flight started in Tasmania.
Yep.
But all the people in Melbourne, they can just say, righto, go home, see you later.
Mm.
And so that is quite annoying, especially if they don't get back here till 2 o'clock in the morning, and then there's nothing on at the airport, no services at the airport, and you've got to get home to, if you live in Dandenong or somewhere,
yeah.
It's quite annoying. So those sort of rules are in place worldwide, and it's just a matter of tweaking these inconvenient rules, and some airlines seem to be playing around the edges and combining flights and calling it the same flight number. Well, I don't really... go with that, and I'd like to see the passengers looked after more.
Well, and you've also got the layer of law on top of all of that, which is the Australian Consumer Protection Law, or whatever it is, and then throw in the ACCC in there as well, and you've got a lot of regulation over this particular industry, where you rose to the top being an A380 captain. James, thank you for your time this afternoon. I appreciate it, and safe skies for you.
My pleasure. Thanks for flying with us.
He's still got it. He's a man who I no doubt was thrilled every time he pressed down on the mic button to address a load of passengers. Good on you, James. Thank you. Your thoughts, 133693. Would it work, a passenger's bill of rights? And we've had a story on the show just this week of a woman who was booted off a flight with her 10-year-old disabled child. And it ended up costing $800 between accommodation and various other things. Is the airline necessarily on the hook for that? 133693, I'd love to know from you what you think an airline should do when it cancels your flight.